Ken Howard, Reel 2.
And also very generous in terms of wherever I was staying. I was immediately sort of taken into the mess and given a place to stay and fed. And in fact, one regiment, the 1st Royal Green Jackets, I stayed with so much that I've got rather embarrassed, and I could never buy a drink or anything, you know. And I tried taking a couple of bottles of wine in one evening for dinner. But finally I said to them, well, if there's a drawing that I have done of the Green Jackets that the Imperial War Museum don't have, I'd like to present it to the mess. And they seemed very pleased. But in fact, it was rather funny because I did, I think it was 7 drawings in that location of Hastings Street, and you took 6 of them, so there was only one left that I could give to the 1 RG Joe. So they seemed to be very pleased with it. No, they were all very generous and very helpful, really.
And you stayed in grand messes and ordinary billets, I suppose.
Oh, it was fantastic, really. You know, complete contrast between a bicycle shed, where I spent a lot of my time at Hastings Street, being right in the centre of it, underneath Divis Flats. It was very definitely an action post. And I suppose that's why I wanted to be there. When I got there, I was given a room at Lisbon HQ, and given a batman and the lot. But I felt almost as if I was going out each morning and just sort of viewing it and coming away from it. And I didn't want that. So, in fact, I only did that for the 3 days of our tour and the first day in Belfast. And then the officer in charge of PR and 1RGJ was a very live wire. And he said, well, if you want to stay here, stay here. He said, our accommodation isn't very grand. And they gave me the bicycle shed. And then another night, of course, when I was out in the country, and it was a nice contrast. I don't mind admitting, I enjoyed the contrast. I was in the officer's mess with a batman and even a bottle of whiskey by the side of the bed, which made a nice contrast to the bicycle shed. And of course, I stayed in caravans and on the HMS Ramehead. I had a small cabin, which was a bit difficult because I liked in the evenings to sort of put up the work I'd been doing and sort of mull over it. And in that cabin, there was just room to walk in, and there were 2 bunks, and that was it, you know. But the next time I stayed in the Ramehead, they gave me a larger cabin, and no, it was, the accommodation actually was quite interesting.
How long did you actually spend on HMS Ramehead?
I suppose 5 nights, because I made Ramehead, like Hastings Street was my centre in Belfast, basically. Ramehead was my centre in Londonderry, basically. I could have stayed at places like Bly's Lane, but Ramehead seemed good, and it wasn't as if I felt outside it there, because it was very definitely a place where the men were. And it was rather nice, because it meant on the Ramehead, for instance, as in many places, there was no restriction of time for working. It went all round the clock. You know, if I wanted to work until 3 in the morning drawing, there was always something going on, and it was an important side of it. So I did a drawing on the Ramehead of the men below decks coming off duty about 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock. Yes. And I did a drawing on the, funnily enough, the other ship, the Maidstone, again in the middle of the night, when men had been out on patrol and come back and sat sort of passing the time, watching the telly until it went off, and then. But that was very interesting, and I like that sort of thing. I mean, one can't work all round the clock for months on end, but for a few weeks it's quite sort of... I remember one morning the doctor at Hastings Street got me up and said, we've got one of the top IRA men we've got to go and see in the hospital. Would you like to come along? And I sort of jumped in the Saracen and off we went. And it was another aspect, you know, the fact that it did go on all night as well as all day. It wasn't just a sort of daytime war, as it were. And I think this is, again, where it sort of contrasts with, as it were, the sort of classic battle thing. It is literally 24 hours a day for the 4 months that they're out there.
Yes.
You know.
And the different places you... stayed, there were quite different sorts of subjects to draw, I suppose.
Yes, in fact, one was very conscious of the difference between, for instance, Belfast and Londonderry. Belfast is much more sort of broken up, it seemed to me. I might be quite wrong. If a general listens to this, he says, oh, that man's wrong. But to me, Belfast seemed to be much more broken up, so that you had a Protestant and a Catholic and a Protestant and a Catholic area, much more sort of mixed up. Therefore, in Belfast at night, you couldn't drive around because there was much more sort of barricading of the streets. Whereas in Londonderry, one was much more conscious of the fact that when you were on one side of the river, you were basically in a reasonably safe. At that time, it seemed as if you were in a Protestant area. You didn't have to worry so much as if you were in a Catholic area, particularly in Londonderry, because the Bogside and the Cregan are fairly... I went up through the Cregan in a Saracen one day, and believe me, I wasn't scared very often when I was over there. But that journey up through the Cregan, with all the bricks and the tins of paint hitting the Saracen, and I sat there and thought, if it breaks down now, you know, what happens? And I remember one day when I was at McCrory Park in Belfast and doing the drawing there, there was suddenly a bit of a panic. Not a panic, but there was an alert. And immediately two lorries went out loaded with men. And in fact, a Saracen had broken down in one of the really hard areas. And these men had to go in to help get them out. So when I was going through the Cregan, I thought, if it breaks down now, I don't know what I'll do. But basically, the army were very good in the sense that they didn't make me feel restricted in any way, but I knew they kept a pretty weather eye on the fact of where I was going, and I never felt myself stopped. But I think the most difficult thing that I had is I wanted to go on with a foot patrol in the Lower Falls, which is a fairly, what they term, hairy area. And finally they let me. But of course I couldn't take a sketchbook because there was no question of stopping. You had to keep moving all the time. But I did take my camera. And I'm a lousy photographer, but in fact I got a set of photographs. The army photographer came with me, and he was in the Saracen. And it was rather sad, actually, because he'd been very badly blown up the tour before. And he was somewhat nervous, but he was very good, and he came with us. And he stayed inside it was a jeep. And he shouted to me the light meter readings for my camera while I was taking the photograph. And I suppose that was quite difficult, getting permission to go there. But it was a very vital experience, I must say. You know, maybe I like putting my neck out sometimes, but not too often.
Yes. But at Balik, I believe you were encouraged to...
Oh, yes. This was the... what I did, you see, is I worked for 4 weeks. And then after the 4 weeks, I came back to London for a weekend and went back for a week to work on some commissions. And the CEO of the tank regiment had asked me to do him one at Balik, and I said yes. He saw the drawing that I'd done for you. And I said, yes, I'll find a slightly different viewpoint. And he said, well, I'd like you to do it from over the river. So I thought, well, that's funny, that's on the Republican side. So I said, well, that's a bit dodgy, isn't it? So he said, oh, no, he said, you'll be all right. So he said, I'll get it all arranged. And when I got there, they certainly had it arranged. I drove from Belfast to Omagh. I was picked up by a helicopter and taken cross-country. I was dropped in a field and loaded into a Saracen, and then down to the river where there was a boat waiting. When I got, I thought, well, I'm going over there and that boat's going to come back. And I knew that there were some slip trenches and things where the IRA, Bleak is a fairly beleaguered place. So I said to the officer, the young officer in charge, well, what happens when I'm over there? I said, if anything happens. So he said, oh, nothing to worry about. He said, you see up there, he said, I've got a machine gun that's going to be trained on you all the time you're over there. And he said, and I've put two men on 5-hour stags, he said, that are going to not take their eyes off you all the time. So you're quite all right. So I said, thank you very much. I was quite all right, except while I was over there, the Irish decided to have a wedding. And it sounded as if they were blowing up Balik. And with all this sort of explosions and noise, I thought, wow, they're trying to cause some sort of deviation to get the army away, and then they're going to grab me. And I must admit, I did sweat a bit, but nothing happened.
Well, so it all turned out all right.
Yes, I painted furiously. I completed the painting in 5 hours, complete. Didn't touch it again, and it wasn't a very large canvas, but I must say that that sort of... situation certainly makes you centre right down on the job in hand and get it finished and get back, sort of thing.
Very good. I think probably we ought to stop at that point.
Oh, that's... Can do.